Well, praise the Lord, church. Good to be found in the house of God one more time. Always good to be found here today. So in keeping with what I started last week about learning, we're going to keep learning this week. So before we begin, though, why am I not working here? What did I do? Oh, I shut it off. Maybe I need new batteries. There we go. Prayer. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. And so, dear Lord, humbly we come before you and we give you thanks for this beautiful day that you've given us to come together in fellowship one with another and to study your word, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your word as it is a guide to each and every one of us. And as we study today, as the words come from my mouth, let them be your words and not mine that we study today as we learn and we work to be better stewards for you in the field, to be better workers for you, and to be better within ourselves for each and every day that we do things and all of the things that we try to accomplish each and every day. So these things we ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Hey, we're going to be studying in 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, the 6th to the 15th verse. Are you pushing the buttons there, Afi? Yes, thank you. Yes. All right. That works for me. Apparently I'm not plugged in good or something. Anyway. All right, 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. Let's all take a look at that together. I'll read the first verse, you read the second. We'll go on down. Let me know when you have it by saying amen. Amen. All right. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits.
Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things.
Remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto God, but the word of God is not bound.
Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him.
And if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us.
If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself.
Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not to abound, not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers.
Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that he may not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen. Amen. Okay, and that's what we want to talk about. That's what the focus today is, the study part. But let's go over these verses one by one again to see what they have to say. Okay, so we want to look at verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. A lot of stuff that they talk about in the Bible refers to an agricultural time. Okay, the people of this time were farmers, they were shepherds, they were workers of the ground. So when he refers to different people, different kinds of people and stuff like that, a lot of times he refers to farmers. Now, husbandman is actually a farmer of some kind, either a fruit farmer, a plant farmer, or a herdsman of some kind. But that's officially what they were called in those days, husbandmen. Okay, and the husbandman that laboreth, whoever works, okay, must be the first partaker of the fruits. In other words, you work for it, you get it first. Okay. Now, what we do with what that first fruits is, is a lot of times, and what we're supposed to be doing with that first fruits, like the Bible tells us in Malachi, we should be giving that first bit to the Lord as part of our tithes. But that's the husbandman's job. He's going to do that. He's going to take care of the first fruits, and he's got to take care of his family first before he sets aside stuff to sell or whatever he does with his flocks or his crops or anything like that. First thing, take care of home, take care of God, take care of home. So he's the first partaker of the fruits. He's the one that has to do. Okay? Now, when we think about studying and stuff like that, everybody has heard the old term, do as I say, not as I do. Now, when we apply this to God's word, we should be applying God's word to our lives. Okay? It doesn't do us any good to go around preaching God's word and then living like crazy on the outside. When you become a Christian, I always like to equate becoming a Christian to like becoming a policeman. People start watching you. Okay? They want to see what you do. They want to see how you react in different situations. They keep watching you. Okay? So when you hear God's word, when you study God's word, who's the first person you should be applying it to?
Yourself.
Now, we're not perfect. We are going to make mistakes. But what is important is, what do we do with those mistakes? How do we handle those mistakes? Yeah, we're going to fly off the handle. Or maybe we're going to say some things that we shouldn't say. So what do we do after that? Okay. Our repentance, our way of handling it, our way of calming ourselves down and saying, okay, look, you know, sorry, didn't mean this, you know, get into some prayer, get yourself calmed down, apply God's word to yourself. Be the first partaker of the fruits, because that's important in your Christian walk, and it's also important in your witnessing. Because what have we said so many times in this church? Our best witness is the way that we live our lives, because people look at us and they watch us. You know, they're going to say, there's no sense me becoming a Christian if I have to be like that. You know, I mean, I can be like that without being a Christian. I don't have to be a Christian to be that way. So if we start putting into practice the things that we learn and the things that we study and the things that God's word tells us, we're being the first partaker of the fruits of God's word. And that's what we want to do. We want to study to show ourselves approved. So we need to do this. Be the first fruits. Okay, next. Okay, verse 7 says, consider that I say, that the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Okay? When we pray, one of the things that I found out when I first started reading the Bible, because remember I've told the story before how I used to pick up the Bible and try to read it like a book, and it just didn't work. It's not until you ask God to give you understanding that you're going to start to understand what's in this book. So when we pray, one of the things I always pray for, and I still pray for this every day, is to give me understanding, because I need it every day. I don't remember, I'm getting older and older, and my memory is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And so I need to every day renew myself and remind myself of the things that are going on in this world. So Paul is telling Timothy, consider what I say, that the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Okay? So pay attention. Pay attention. You need to understand what you're reading. Next. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to the gospel. What is the foundation of the things that we believe in as Christians? Okay. One of the foundations, the basic foundation is Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We believe that. Okay? It is one of the basic tenets of Christianity, of belief. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth. His total mission was to teach us the gospel and to die for our sins and be raised again on the third day to sit at the right hand of God in heaven and intercede for us. That was his job. That's what he does. We must believe that. Okay? Remember, if we remember nothing else, we have to remember that Jesus rose again. Now, this is historical fact. People say, nah. People don't believe this. But this is historical fact. The Romans kept very accurate records of the things that they did, especially the trials that they had, the people that they executed. They kept really accurate records. And there are records of a rabble-rouser named Jesus who was brought to trial before Pontius Pilate. And they found tablets and stuff with Pilate's name on them in Israel just in the last 10 years or so to prove that Pilate really did exist in Israel. So they found his name there. He was a real person. Okay, this could be shown historically. There are records that state that they crucified this guy named Jesus for being a subversive person, for being a man inciting the people to rebellion, because he said he had his own kingdom. And Rome said that there was only one kingdom, and that was Rome. And so they had this man Jesus, and they tried him. A lot of things about the trial that we all know about, that there was a whole, the whole thing was done illegally and under the table and stuff like that. But the bottom line was that they crucified him. And 3 days later, they couldn't find the body. And it's a historical fact that they paid the guards off who were guarding the tomb to say that the Christians came in the middle of the night and stole him. Yeah, that's a problem with keeping good records. You can always find stuff like this out. You know? The people of the time didn't know what happened to Jesus. The Christians knew. The first evangelist knew. The first evangelist was Mary Magdalene. She's the one who was at the grave and discovered the empty tomb and was the one who went back to the disciples and told them, hey, he's risen. He got a message for you. He wants you to meet back in Galilee. So this is fact. Remember that Jesus Christ, the Son of David, was raised from the dead according to the gospel. That's a true fact. And it's a basic foundation of our tenets. We have to believe this. And if we believe this in our heart, we can say it with conviction. One of the problems we have with sharing the gospel and stuff like that, or actually teaching anything, is in order for you to teach it correctly, or in order for you to share it correctly, you got to believe it yourself. Okay. Does this absolutely no good to try to teach something we don't believe in? I find this true when I teach people how to ride motorcycles. You know, I can't tell them to be safe if I don't believe in being safe. And this is when we're talking about people's lives, and this is what we talk about. We're talking about people's lives when I teach them how to ride a motorcycle, you're teaching them how to stay alive. We're teaching people, as Christians, we're teaching people how to get eternal life. We're teaching people what is beyond what we live today, the way we are, who we are. One of the basic tenets that we have to remember, and we have to really truly believe this in our heart, is that we know Jesus rose from the dead. Next. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Okay. The original Christians, and Paul is writing this to Timothy, the church at the time, run by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, thought he was trying to pull people away from them, which was probably a good thing, because they weren't really in it for the right reasons. So because of Paul's belief, he tells Timothy, you know, I believe in this so surely that they keep putting me in jail for it. And they did. How many times was Paul arrested? Yeah, how many times was he arrested? How much did he write while he was arrested? One of the neat things about Paul was every time they arrested him, they'd chain a guard to him. And they had to keep changing guards because Paul kept converting the guards. They're making them Christians. So even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. And you can hear proofs and stories of this. For my particular era of the Vietnam War, guys who were prisoners of war in Vietnam, a lot of them say that the only thing that kept them, held them together, was their faith. Was their faith. They kept believing in God, and they kept believing in the tenets of the Bible, and even though, you know, they couldn't verbalize it that much, the mind is free. Remember in this, in the stories that you see in the movies like King of Kings and stuff like that, Jesus goes to visit John the Baptist in a prison. And he says, I'm going to set John free. And he says, you're not kicking him out of this jail, that's for sure. And Jesus says, no, I've come to set his mind free. Your mind, as long as your mind can be free, as long as you can have hope. And that's one of the big things about believing, is belief and stuff like this gives us hope. And hope is a powerful, powerful tool, especially when you're having problems and when you're in danger. And hope that things will get better. Hope that you have a future. Hope that we're going to make it into heaven. All of these things are important to us because the Word of God is never bound. It's never bound. We're always free to think. They can do a lot of things to our bodies, but they can't stop our mind from thinking. And it's going to become important as we get closer and closer to the end times. Okay? As we become closer and closer to the end times, we need to start thinking about this really seriously. Because it could come in our lifetime, that time when we have to make a choice between believing and not believing. And if we don't make it in the rapture, and maybe not all of us will, hopefully every one of us will make the rapture, but if we don't make the rapture, if we're stuck behind, if we don't take the mark of the beast, we're going to be asked to deny Christ. What's our answer going to be? And you need to seriously think about this because those times are coming. The time is coming. It's coming closer and closer and closer. We need to be ready for that time. And we need to know in our hearts what we're going to say and how we're going to react. Next verse. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Okay. I believe, and I hang on, and I hold on to my belief because I want to extend that out to you. Okay. My job as a minister, my job as a teacher, my job as a preacher is to share my belief with you. Because your salvation is my responsibility. Now, you're not going to heaven on my ticket. Okay. I can't, God is not going to come to me and ask me, dear, can I let him in? He's not going to ask me. He is going to have to get there on his own. All I can do is give him the tools that he needs so that he can make the correct decision. And now, when we talk about tools, we talk about the Word of God, we talk about the things like that in the Bible. I can remember growing up, and it was kind of tragic that my generation, the generation that I grew up in, had the idea that, or some of them had the idea anyway, that they weren't going to, in quotes, force religion on their children. Okay. They weren't going to make them go to church. They were going to let them grow up and decide on their own what they wanted to do. Well, unfortunately, we know what the result of that was. They have a generation of people who don't believe, who don't understand, who have no clue what the Word of God is all about, and who are constantly out there with what they call itching ears in the Bible, looking for easy ways and easy things to think about, and soft, cushy, comfortable churches that they don't have to listen to stories about hell and damnation and punishment. Okay. There's a lot of people out there who are like that. Those of us who know and understand, have studied the Bible, understand and know that there is, in fact, a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And it's important for us to tell the truth about these things to people and for people to learn and to understand them. Our whole purpose in life, each and every one of you, when you go out of this church and you go out and you go out to your daily jobs and you work in your job and you live your daily life, even if you just, you know, stay at home and you work in your yard or whatever it is that you do, part of your job is the salvation of the people around you. Okay. People are going to come to you and ask you questions. It's interesting that when you become a Christian, you change. Okay. A lot of us don't think we change. I didn't think I changed. I didn't have one of these earth-shattering experiences becoming a Christian. It wasn't like that for me. But when I did become a Christian, when I started to live the Christian life, there was a change that people saw that was different in me. And even at my job, I mean, where I worked when we were still at Wycamilla, when I worked for Safety Systems, I had a desk, you know, and I had some scriptures on a wall and stuff like that. And people would walk by and they'd be talking like crazy over here, and then they'd walk the 6 foot past my desk and they'd be very quiet, and then they'd get on the other side and they'd start talking again. People know. You know, people look at you and they understand. Like I said in the very beginning, once you become a Christian, people watch, see what you do, see how you are. Okay. Next. Okay. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Hit the button again. And if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. It is a faithful saying. I always like when the Bible says that. That means that what you're about to hear is really true. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. I am crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Jesus Christ lives within me. And if we suffer, Jesus said, he told his disciples, you will suffer. People will pick on you. People will put you in jail. People will deny you and persecute you. That's gonna happen. But if you hang on, you'll also reign with him. The reward for hanging on and being faithful is that you will hang with it. You will reign with him. But like he says, if you deny him, he'll deny you. So it's important that we never deny the Lord. Okay? Don't deny him. You know, stick to the truth. You'd be amazed how the truth can pull you through, how the truth can keep you going each and every day. How following these rules, how thinking about these things and applying them to our lives, how they will make a difference in everything that we do each and every day. Okay, next. However, if we don't believe, know that he still abides faithful. He's not going to deny himself. Right after John 3:16, where it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Right after that, it says, there's another verse which I call the default clause in the Bible. In fact, everybody turn there, John 3:17. I think it's 3:17. It's either 3:17 or 3:18. Somebody get it? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Read that, John, or read what it says.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Next verse.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Okay. So verse 18, the default clause in the Bible says, if you don't believe, if you believe, you're going to be saved. If you don't believe, you're condemned already because you don't believe. And how hard it is, how hard is it to believe in something? Huh? Sometimes it's hard to believe in something, especially this. This seems to be the hardest thing in the world to believe in, that there is something free out there for you that you can't earn, that is a gift. The salvation of the Lord is a gift which is given to us, and all we have to do is accept it. And we as human beings have the hardest time accepting that because we have to pay for everything in our lives. We have to work for everything. Relationship with Jesus Christ is the easiest thing in the world to have because you don't have to work for it. All you have to do is accept it. We can. We put too many rules and regulations on ourselves and we have a hard time just accepting. Okay. So what we have to do is we have to stop doing that to ourselves. We have to start accepting what's going on. Okay. If we don't believe, it doesn't make any difference to God. He still believes in himself. He abides in himself. And he's still faithful. He is not going to deny himself. We might deny him, but he's not going to deny himself. So it's important that you always have faith and always believe. Next. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Whoops. That's okay. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words of no profit, but the subverting of the hearers. Okay? When you read, when you study, don't just look at the words. Okay? How many times do we quibble over words? Okay? What does this word mean? What does this word, how does this word apply to what we do? You know, words sometimes become more important than their context. And it's so important that we not take them out of context. It's so important that we put them into remembrance. Okay? Don't worry about the small stuff. Okay? Look at the bigger picture. See where everything belongs. See how it all fits together. See how we're going to work on it. Okay? Don't sweat the small stuff. I guess this is what it's saying over here. Strive not about words to no profit, okay? Because you can quibble over words all day long. Sometimes you just have to agree not to agree on what some words mean. You have to look at the bigger picture of where it's all taking us. Remember, what we want to do is we want to get into heaven. Okay? That's all of our goals. In fact, that's even God's goal. Because Jesus said himself, he says, he doesn't want anybody to perish. God doesn't want anybody to perish, but that all men should come into repentance and be saved. All men. That includes everybody. And it's important that we understand that principle. That, you know, he doesn't want anyone to suffer. There are going to be those people who suffer. If they do, it's their choice. They chose that. And we can feel for them, but we can't do anything for them. That's what they've chosen in their lives. Okay, 15. So, study to show thyself approved unto God. Read God's word. Take to heart the things that you hear on Sundays in these meetings. I know a lot of times people will say, oh, gee, they'll sit here in church and they'll listen and they'll listen and they'll listen and they'll walk out the door and 5 minutes later they can't remember a thing that went on. You know, home and your significant other is going to say, how was church? Oh, it was great. What did they talk about? I don't know. Can't remember. That's why it's important that you have your own Bible. That's why it's important that you mark your Bible. Highlight it. You know, when I first got my first Bible, and, you know, people talk about highlighting the Bible and stuff like that, I said, oh, no, you can't write in the Bible. That's the Bible, man. That's a holy book. You don't want to do it. Right now, you take a look at my Bible, I got Technicolor in here. I got different colors and circles and arrows and comments written in the margin. This is a workbook. Yeah? It's not just some book to set on the shelf. It's a workbook. And I have notes in here, and I've got things highlighted because it's important that I remember these things and I study these things, and when I want to find them, they're easy to see when they're in a different color. Okay? So you have to study to show yourself approved. A workman, and we're all workmen, that needeth not be ashamed. Okay? You don't ever want to be ashamed of your belief in God. I know for new Christians, sometimes it's hard. Because I can remember being a new Christian, you know, and running into people you meet from church at Safeway or at Tamura's. They say, oh, say, praise the Lord, Brother Will. I say, oh,
this is Safeway. We're not supposed to say that in here. He says, you know.
And that's the way I was when in the beginning. When I first got saved, you know, I was just, okay, yeah, I go to church. You know. Well, you know, I'm not making a big deal out of it. You know. Yeah, but as I've gone out and as I've learned and as I've grown in the faith, it's natural now. You know, it's part of my life. If someone wants to say praise the Lord at Safeway, then I'll say praise the Lord right back. You know, I even get people on the phone, because I was talking on the phone to the other guy. I always listen to Christian teaching on my radio at my desk at work. And every once in a while I have somebody ask me, he says, who's that on the radio? So that's Greg Laurie. Oh, I like listening to him. Oh, you're doing a good job in there. Praise the Lord. I said, oh, God bless you. So it happens, you know. People are out there. If people want to share, people want to be confident in the fact that they're believers and that they can understand. So you don't need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. What's the word of truth? God's word is the word of truth. The truth is in this Bible. And that's what we need to hang on to and remember. The truth. We're not telling any fancy stories. We're not telling any lies. We're not making anything up to get people to try to follow us or to come with us. Okay, we're not trying to build hundreds of thousands of people who will just come and support our ministry because, you know, we have fun and we tell funny stories and we do all of this other stuff. We're trying to put out God's word. We're trying to preach the word. We're trying to get people to understand, to know, and to realize what is available to them after this life. And so we need to tell the truth. People ask us about the word of God, don't sugarcoat it. Right. You know, don't make it soft and cushy and comfortable. Tell them the truth. Okay, now, this doesn't mean you go around with your King James Version and beat people over the head and say, you're going to hell. Okay, that doesn't work either. You have to explain to them what is going on. I have to explain to them there is a hell, and there is a heaven. And every once in a while, we got to hear a good old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone message to make us know and understand that there is a difference. Sometimes we need that just to remind ourselves of where we're going. But most of the time, we need to reach out to people. We need to be gentle with them. We need to show them the love of God. Okay, everybody thinks that God is out there waiting for them to do something wrong to pounce on them and stomp them. And that's not the case. I used to think that. I used to think that before I got saved, I used to think that if I ever walked into a church, the walls would crumble and the ceiling would open up and a big hand would come out of the sky and say, you the guy. But that didn't happen. Because when I first went to that church in Houla many, many years ago, I was welcomed in and there was love. And there was peace and there was gentleness and there was concern and care. And these are the things that make you different, that attract people to the Word of God and get them interested. Because that's what we want. We want them to learn. Okay? Sometimes you got to put a big scare in them. Sometimes people learn like that. But most of the time you find that people will learn better and learn easier if you just share with them. And you don't have to quote 100 scriptures. I was talking with a guy the other day who could quote scriptures left and right and backwards and forwards and upside down, but he didn't know what the Bible was really saying. He could quote a lot of scriptures, but he was stuck on a few things. So it's important that we as Christians have patience. We need to teach. We need to show. We need to share. Okay? All right. Effie. So having said all of that, and hoping that everything that we talked about today has meaning and has brought some light into our lives, I'd like to close with a word of prayer this afternoon. What time is it? This afternoon. All right. So let's begin to pray. Dear Lord, humbly we come before you once again, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it says to us each and every day. And we thank you, Lord, that throughout the time that we study your word and as we listen and we actually hear more than just the words that are being said, as we put them in our hearts and as we let them digest and as we absorb them into our system and we say, thank you for giving us this opportunity to learn and to study and to apply these things to our lives. And Lord, show us how to apply these things. Show us how to be good witnesses. Show us how to take this into heart and show us how to move forward with it so that we can be better workers for you in the field. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine on each and every one of you and give you peace. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.